Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading, which is 2 Samuel, chapter 1. Second Samuel, chapter 1, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Now it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had abode 2 days in Ziklag. It came even to pass on the third day that, behold, a man came out of the camp from Saul with his clothes rent and earth upon his head. And so it was, when he came to David, that he fell to the earth and did obeisance. And David said unto him, From whence comest thou? And he said unto him, Out of the camp of Israel am I escaped. And David said unto him, How went the matter, I pray thee, tell me. And he answered that the people are fled from the battle, and many of the people are also fallen and dead. And Saul and Jonathan his son are dead also. And David said unto the young man that told him, How knowest thou that Saul and Jonathan his son be dead? And the young man that told him said, As I happened by chance upon Mount Gilboa, behold, Saul leaned upon his spear, and lo, the chariots and horsemen followed hard after him. And when he looked behind him, he saw me, and called unto me, and I answered, Here am I. And he said unto me, Who art thou? And I answered him, I am an Amalekite. And he said unto me, Stand, I pray thee, upon me, and slay me, for anguish is come upon me, because my life is yet whole in me. So I stood upon him and slew him, because I was sure that he could not live after that he was fallen. And I took the crown that was upon his head, and the bracelet that was on his arm, and have brought them hither unto my Lord. Then David took hold on his clothes and rent them, and likewise all the men that were with him. And they mourned and wept and fasted until even for Saul and for Jonathan his son and for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword. And David said unto the young man that told him, Whence art thou? And he answered, I am the son of a stranger, an Amalekite. And David said unto him, How wast thou not afraid to stretch forth thine hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? And David called one of the young men and said, Go near and fall upon him. And he smote him that he died. And David said unto him, Thy blood be upon thy head, for thy mouth hath testified against thee, saying, I have slain the Lord's anointed. And David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan his son. Also he bade them teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher, The beauty of Israel is slain upon thy high places. How are the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath, publish it not in the streets of Ashkelon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, let there be rain upon you. Neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offerings, for there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, the shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles, they were stronger than lions. You daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with other delights, who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen, and the weapons of war perished? May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. as affecting as this passage is, it is also a very curious passage, isn't it? There are several curiosities in this passage. Number one, we find out in this passage here that not all of the Amalekites were slain in the days of Saul. There is a force of them left, and this young man is left of the days of Saul. When Saul ought to have slain them all, remember he brought Agag back, the king of the Amalekites. And while there is a statement in the scriptures there, in 1 Samuel, I guess it's 15, where it says that Saul slew the Amalekites and brought Agag back, apparently there were other Amalekites somewhere else that Saul had not slain. And so this Amalekite comes and he has a story for David. And we know that his story is not true. We already know what happened to Saul. The Bible has told us very clearly what happened. He was upon Mount Gilboa and he was wounded. And he said to his armor bearer, "Slay me." And the armor bearer would not. He was afraid. And so Saul fell upon his own sword. And then when the armor bearer saw that his master was slain, he fell upon his sword as well. It seems then that after that took place, this Amalekite comes along and sees the crown and the armlet, not really a bracelet, but an armlet, a shield of gold on the forearm. And he takes them up and he says to himself, "I need to find David and ingratiate myself to him with this stuff and to tell him that I have killed his enemy. Surely, surely he will favor me." I know I'm interpreting some here and reading perhaps a little bit into it, but it sure seems like this is exactly what's going on. And so he comes into the camp of David and he spins himself quite a tale, doesn't he? He tells him how Saul, well, he was being pursued by chariots and he was already fallen and they saw the chariots coming and Saul himself, he commanded me over and so I was just doing my duty, obeying the king and he said, "Fall upon me," and so I did and then I took the crown off of his head. I just figured that providentially the Lord was bringing his kingdom to a close and starting yours up, David, and so here is the crown and the armlets of Saul. Oh my, he did not get the response he was anticipating, did he? He thought to ingratiate himself to David, actually what he did. And had he known David, he would have known that he spoke words of judgment with his own mouth. And so as David would not rise up against the Lord's anointed all the days of his life, this Amalekite figured that David would favor him, but he found out that David's heart was in the opposite direction. And so this man became cursed in David's eyes. And it was not necessary to put him under any kind of court or trial, because out of his own mouth he condemned himself, as David says. And so David kills him. What is this man slain for? Well, sometimes people die of stupidity, don't they? Sometimes people die because they have spun a web of lies. Children, understand this. Listen to me very carefully. Sometimes we will tell a tale, and that tale may go or take us places we did not know it was going to take us. This young Amalekite lost his life because he told a lie. The lie that he told was confessing to a murder he did not commit. And yet, because of those words that came forth out of his mouth, he died that day. Now, I want you to understand that every sin deserves the wrath and curse of God, both in this life and that which is to come. Our catechism is very clear on that. This young man did not receive a punishment that was in some way unjust. For the web of lies that he told, for the flattery that he brought, And because he was an Amalekite and should have been killed by Saul years before, all of these things congeal here, and now he loses his life. For David's part and his men's part, what do? They set a righteous example. They tear their clothes and they mourn for Saul. And they fast until evening. And then David takes up a lamentation. A lamentation for the mighty who are fallen. Did you expect that out of the mouth of David? Well, if you know David and you know the scriptures, then yes, you expected it. But apart from that, this is such a wondrous and rare example of someone seeking the glory of God first. What does David say? The Philistines will rejoice. The daughters of the Philistines will rejoice. What will they rejoice over? That the mighty of Israel have fallen. God's people, therefore God's name, is being dishonored and blasphemed because the mighty have fallen. Oh, for a heart like that. That even at great personal cost to desire that God's name would be magnified. Now let's just be very open here. And very straightforward. David stands to profit much by Saul's death. A lesser man would have been rejoicing. But David understands effects of this circumstance far beyond his own profitability. Can we do that? Can we get there? Can we have the greatness of heart that a David has? That our own desires would be eclipsed by our desire for the glory of God and the lifting up of His name. This is the example that David sets before us here. And truly, it is an example to be followed. His lament that he takes up is, like the older theologians say, it's pathetic. Now we say pathetic as a derogatory. Oh, that's pathetic. That's not what we mean by that. It's full of pathos. That's what pathetic means, truly. Full of pathos and feeling. This is obviously the sincere desire of David's heart as he lays it out before us in this psalm. And it is a greatness of heart, my dear brothers and sisters, that is extremely rare. So when you read 2 Samuel chapter 1, read it in such a way that you are called to that example of greatness of heart by David. All right, well, Austin is dealing with